From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Women are the fastest growing group of veterans, according to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, and about half the country's 2 million female veterans are of childbearing age. We meet two medical professionals who tailor the care veterans receive at the Women's Clinic inside the Baltimore VA Medical Center. And we visit a baby shower honoring new and expecting veteran moms. Here's Farrah Flanders.
I think it's funny how people assume that veterans look a certain way, but I'm platinum blonde and 5'8", a little overweight, so most people wouldn't think that I'm a veteran, much less a disabled veteran. So I think that people just need to keep an open mind about what a veteran looks like.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at WYPR.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@WYPR.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Women are the fastest growing group of veterans, says the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, and about half the country's 2 million female veterans are of childbearing age. Later in the show, we'll visit a special baby shower that honors those vets who are new mothers.
I think that the VA has come a long way since my first son, which has been 10 years. So they've improved on a lot of things, which is good, which is a good thing for us veterans.
Joining us now are two medical professionals who tailor the care that women veterans receive at the Women's Clinic inside the Baltimore VA Medical Center. Zelda McCormick is a nurse and program manager for the Women's Clinic. Welcome to On the Record, Zelda.
Thank you.
And Dr. Catherine Staropoli is medical director of women's health at the VA. Welcome, Dr. Staropoli.
Thank you, Sheila.
Dr. Staropoli, you have been at the VA more than 20 years.
Yes.
What changes have you seen?
We've seen enormous changes at the VA nationally and locally. When I came in 1995, we only had a few hundred women that were enrolled at our VA. And now we have about 5,000 women that are active patients at our VA. So just the numbers of women that have been seen have skyrocketed enormously. Women are about 11 to 12% of our veteran population here at our VA.
And this, your VA clinic serves the whole state, right?
Yes. Well, we have multiple clinics. We have clinics inside our hospital in downtown Baltimore, and we have community-based clinics as well that are located around the state. So yes, between all of those sites, we have about 5,000 women that are enrolled. So it's a huge difference from when I first started. The scope of services that we offer has grown as well. The support nationally has grown as well.
The scope of services, like what services do you offer now that you didn't used to for women?
Well, we offer maternity services that are paid for by the VA, which is something that was not offered when I started. We offer infertility services. We've always offered basic services for primary care of women, things like mammography, pap smears, osteoporosis detection, treatment, menopause treatment, contraception, basic services for women like that we have always offered here in Maryland. But sort of these extended services that require a lot of specialty care, they're new.
And the profile of women veterans, I mean, as the number has grown, is it a different age group? Is there a change in the profile?
Yes, yes. Well, right now we have basically three peak age groups. Our biggest peak is women around the age of 55. We also have a peak of women around the age of 30. So that's a huge difference because we used to not have younger women veterans. A lot of the newer services that are being offered cater to the reproductive needs of those women. And the third peak, which is a much smaller peak, are women maybe in their 80s. But like I said, the younger women are really where we're seeing a huge amount of difference in terms of services and of education of providers. We have national education programs that go on. We have national conferences, national weekly continuing medical education conferences that are all on topics about women that any provider can call into or attend. So a huge effort nationally to increase education to providers throughout the VA about issues of younger women.
In 2010, Congress passed the Caregivers and Veterans Omnibus Health Services Act. One of its provisions required the VA to examine potential barriers to women veterans accessing VA health care services. What are some of those barriers, and how does the clinic address them?
Well, some of the barriers relate to education. A lot of women believe, or a lot of people in general believe, that the VA is for older men. So women, primarily younger women, made the decision not to come to VA. So we've done a lot of outreach and education to ensure that all veterans know that we're capable, the VA nationally, is capable of taking care of men and women of any age. Another barrier is that a lot of women don't self-identify with being a veteran. So I'll give you an example. At some of the outreach, when I ask, how many veterans do we have in the room? So people will raise their hands. Then I'll ask, how many people have served in the military? And you would be surprised at the number of hands that go up that didn't go up when I use the term veteran. So a lot
of interesting. What does that mean? What does that indicate?
Well, some people, women in particular, don't think that they're veterans based on the amount of time that they've served in the military. Some of them believe that if they didn't serve in combat theater, that they're not veterans. So that's why the education is so important, because we want everybody to know, you know, that if you served in the military and you were honorably discharged, then you can access VA healthcare.
What are some of the other barriers?
Well, privacy was an issue because women are a minority. If they come into the VA, well, this was longer ago, if they would come into the VA for healthcare services, you would mainly see men. So you're sitting in a waiting room of 25, 30 men, and it may be one or two women. So that can be a little uncomfortable. So to overcome that barrier, a lot of VAs have separate waiting rooms and separate clinics for women.
Is that true here in Maryland?
It is here. It is.
If it's only been recently that young female veterans have been turning to the VA in many numbers, what about childcare?
So on the healthcare side, we don't offer healthcare. I mean, I'm sorry, we don't offer childcare.
Is that a barrier?
I imagine it could be, but a lot of the women show up to clinic with their children. So, you know, we're hoping that it's not a barrier. And when I do my community outreach, I do share that we see babies all the time. And that's one of the good things about the VA now, as opposed to when I started, which was back in 1992. Now we see younger women. We see them with babies, pushing strollers. We hear babies crying. At one time, that would have been unheard of in the VA.
I think the other thing is that we see young men,
yes,
with babies
do.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just been a big change in our veteran population. So a lot of the improvements that have been made throughout the hospital to accommodate young children, for example, baby changing tables or play areas, these are not just, I think many of these changes came about because of concerns about barriers for women veterans, but all of these things, privacy, all the things we've been talking about benefit everyone. They benefit our male veterans too. So I think all of these changes have improved care for everyone, not just for young women.
What about mental health?
Well, we have enormous amounts of mental health programs at all VAs, really, and that is a huge benefit to veterans to be able to access those mental health services, which are often not available to them in the community. I think, you know, at VA, we specialize in veterans. We are all treating veterans all of the time, so we become very accustomed and very in tune with experiences that they've had, occupational issues, health issues that they may face from having been in the military. You know, we're all very familiar with that. So I think in terms of mental health, our mental health specialists are also very in tune with that.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Kast, speaking with Zelda McCormick, Program Manager for Women Veterans Healthcare, and Dr. Catherine Staropoli, Medical Director of Women's Health at the VA. We're talking about medical services designed for women veterans, the fastest growing group in the veteran population. There is a term I wasn't aware of that I came upon in getting ready to talk to you, military sexual trauma. What does that cover and how do you address that?
So military sexual trauma can cover a variety of things, from feeling harassed, unwanted sexual attention. We screen for this for all of our patients at VA, and it's something that affects both men and women. Military sexual trauma is an area that we're looking to identify for patients. We have an entire program at our VA. We have a program manager to specifically address the needs of these patients.
Zella McCormick, what has been the response to changes the VA has made?
The response has been overwhelming on the part of the veterans, the staff, and the community alike. We are able to see the difference. We are able to see the changes. Staff are more educated on being able to identify issues and refer patients as needed. The treatment has improved because there was a lot of education that had to go into being able to manage the female because they are the minority and we rarely saw them at one time. But with the education, the training, the outreach to make sure that our staff are sensitive to the needs of women because the needs do differ. We need not call them Mr., you know, because we're not paying attention to what their name is on the sheet of paper when we're
so
calling them.
You're saying it used to be sort of default
because yes, Mr.
Such mm-hmm. a big proportion of your patients were male that without even looking up, you'd say Mr. Smith.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. So the staff, they're sensitized to the need to be mindful that we do take care of women. And the care that we provide women is equally as great as the care that we've provided to men for so long.
We also offer comprehensive women's health care, which is a model of health care where one provider can take care of primary care needs and basic gynecologic needs. So a woman would only need to see one doctor, nurse practitioner, health care provider to get their pap smear, to get their cold treated, to get their blood pressure taken care of. So you have one provider that can manage all of those things.
And obstetrical care, the VA doesn't have enough clinics around to be delivering babies for every pregnant veteran, do they?
So we do have gynecologists. Our gynecologists are basically surgical specialists. We refer things that are beyond the scope of a primary care physician to our gynecologist. So that might be like procedures for abnormal pap smears, surgeries, or much more complicated gynecologic problems. As far as obstetrics, we don't have obstetricians. We don't have a delivery room. We don't have enough volume to have that. The other issue is that women are living all over the state. And they would need to come to Baltimore if we were providing their obstetric service, and that's not reasonable for people living on the Eastern Shore. So the VA does pay for care in the community for obstetric care. And we have a maternity coordinator who tracks women as they are being followed in the community and helps to reintegrate them back into our care when they're done, helps them, screens them for a variety of issues, helps them with any problems they have. And we have some services that many outside insurances might not cover in terms of obstetric care, mostly in providing various devices, breast pumps, things like that, that we can give to women. So she makes sure that they have access to all of those things as well.
Tell me about the baby shower. I understand this is the first time there's been a national veterans baby shower.
Yes.
But Maryland has had one, right?
May 5th. So that was the second baby shower that we've done in Maryland. And there were 54 women, mothers invited, roughly 30 attended. They were able to bring a guest. We played baby shower games. We incorporated education. Our social worker and IPV coordinator talked about healthy relationships because intimate partner violence is prevalent in the maternity population. So we had someone to talk about that. We talked about infant CPR. We talked about breastfeeding, car seat safety. So those were the educational components, but we had a lot of fun, played games. There was catered lunch, a big pretty baby shower cake, and the game prizes. We had big ticket game prizes, travel systems, car seats, strollers, playpens, and everything that we gave to the babies and the moms were donated. Everything, brand new, donated from VA staff, VSOs, other community partners. It was wonderful.
The idea for a baby shower, you did one several years ago.
Yes.
Where did that come from, the idea for it?
Back in 2014, we had a good grasp on the case management and care management of the maternity patients. So we thought it would be a good idea to celebrate them. We celebrate breast cancer awareness, Alzheimer's. We thought it would be great to do something very, very positive for such a young population. We knew that they would enjoy it. And we had a great response then. That it was our idea then. This time, nationally, they wanted to do baby showers throughout VA around Mother's Day. So that's why the majority of the baby showers are during this time frame.
Why is it important to reach out specifically to women vets who are new mothers?
It's important because this is a population that has unique needs as well. It can be stressful, and that stress can very possibly not be handled appropriately. So we want to provide the support that's needed, the education that's needed, to make sure that this period is a good period, a happy period, and they can remain healthy and the baby can remain healthy. So we stay in contact with them even when they're under the care of the obstetrician. We're talking to them about smoking, refraining from alcohol, talking about their relationships, just to make sure that they're okay because they're not coming to us while they're under the care of the obstetrician. So, you know, it's a population that has a lot of needs, and we want to make sure that we're meeting the needs and they're staying happy and healthy.
Well, thank you both. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Zelda McCormick is Program Manager for Women Veterans Healthcare, and Dr. Catherine Staropoli is Medical Director of Women's Health at the VA. We've been talking about medical services designed for female vets, the fastest growing group among veterans. Time for a break on the record. In anticipation of Mother's Day, the VA is hosting baby showers nationwide to honor new veteran moms and their children. After the break on the record, producer Melissa Gear meets with some of the moms at Baltimore's VA baby shower. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about female veterans, the fastest growing group within the vet population, and services that are evolving to address their medical care. Earlier, we spoke with Nurse Zelda McCormick, Program Manager for Women Veteran Healthcare, and Dr. Catherine Staropoli, Medical Director of Women's Health at the VA. Now, On the Record producer Melissa Gear meets some new and expectant veteran moms at a baby shower in honor of Mother's Day.
Yeah.
I think it's funny how people assume that veterans look a certain way. And I know that you're on the radio, so your listeners can't see who I am, but I'm platinum blonde and 5'8", a little overweight. So most people wouldn't think that I'm a veteran, much less a disabled veteran. So I think that people just need to keep an open mind about what a veteran looks like. My name is Farrah Flanders, and I was in the Navy. I served in Puerto Rico, Hawaii, and most recently at Andrews Air Force Base.
My name is Aja Smith. I was in the Navy, and I was stationed in San Diego, California.
My name is Hope Lay Rice, and I served in the Army Reserves, and I was actually deployed twice to Iraq and once stateside at the NSA.
My name is Jody Durant, and I served in the Air Force for 4 years.
Who are you holding in your arms here?
Oh, baby Jackson. He'll be 1 month old on Tuesday.
My name is Shandy Robinson, and I served in the United States Navy. And this is my daughter. Her name is Samar, and she's 4 months old. This is actually our only baby shower because we're new, so we didn't know anyone around here. So this was really nice.
Tell me about the event today. What happened here today?
They had baby shower games. They had food, good cake, and good fellowship among people, you know, get to talk with people and see how their experiences are. And great speakers also talking about mental health and breastfeeding and the importance of, you know, taking care of yourself while you're pregnant.
Infant CPR, which is a good thing for everybody to know, as well as like meditation, you know, stress relief, which is helpful being a mother.
I actually learned a lot of stuff. I now know that there are classes that I can take to learn how to breastfeed.
And what kinds of things did you receive here today as a new mother?
So there's clothes sets from Carter's. And then, oh, there's like a snuggly teething toy, diapers. Oh, there's a bunch of snuggly toys. So there's onesies.
Hairbrush and comb and bottles and pacifier, changing pads.
A really cute picture frame for the sonogram, and as well as baby wipes and diapers and bottles, a lot of bottles, for which I am grateful.
So a lot of people have the impression that the VA is a place where men go for health care. Do you feel like the VA recognizes you as a female vet?
Yes, I do. And they have actually gotten better over the years. They have actually moved their women's health on the second floor. It used to be downstairs on the first floor years ago with the men. We were actually in the same environment with the men. But they have actually separated us. And they take time to talk to us about our concerns and our issues and problems or what may be happening with us. So that it's more personal, more intimate.
And are you personally more comfortable with the kind of the separation where the men are being seen and the women are being seen?
I am more comfortable. It actually puts me at ease. You know, it's better. It's a better environment now. And knowing that they're going to take care of you.
I had a week stint here in October, which is when I found out I was pregnant. And I was an anomaly on my floor because I was number one female and number two, 35. So a good 3 decades younger than anyone else up there and pregnant. So I was an anomaly and all of the doctors were like, can we come talk to you? It was quite funny. But the level of care has been tremendous and I've been very impressed with it.
So even though you were an anomaly on the floor, you felt like your needs were being addressed as a woman?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Like they were on it. The docs were on it. I appreciate the partnership they had between the University of Maryland. So the residents were always at my care.
I think that the VA has come a long way since my first son, which has been 10 years. So they've improved on a lot of things, which is good, which is a good thing for us veterans.
What's her name?
Naima.
Hi, Naima. Hey, girlfriend.
Voices of new and expectant mothers at the Women Veterans Healthcare Center baby shower that took place last weekend. It was part of a nationwide event honoring new veteran moms for Mother's Day. Earlier, we spoke about evolving medical services to address the growing number of female veterans with Zelda McCormick, a nurse who is program manager for Women Veterans Healthcare, and Dr. Catherine Staropoli, medical director of Women's Health at the VA. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Hope all our listener moms have a great day on Sunday. Glad you were with us today. Come back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.